I really want to give you, get you to give attention this morning. We're going to keep it pretty short and sharp, but I do want to speak about what I think are the truths of Christianity that sometimes get hidden. And today and next week, I want to talk about two of the most important truths of Christian life that we seem somehow to have missed. The first one is this. It's Easter. It's this week. And the message really today is that God is interested in your life flourishing. That's what he's really interested in. That's not just like the Van Essen version of Christianity or how we do it at Greater Life. That's really the same truth that's been being told and being preached ever since Jesus started. But it's very easy for people to become more focused on what I would call religion. In other words, just the system of the way we do things, and we've got to wear these clothes, and you know, everybody has to say yes and amen at the right time and all those kinds of things. And most of that is not important, but what is important is to understand that you're important. God, so this whole Easter event, you know, we did it yesterday there with the other churches together, and John Miller and the guys really coordinated this passion play, and for an hour and 15 minutes, we had dozens and dozens of actors and disciples, and they're all dressed up, and big wooden crosses, three of them there, and the whole thing, and the sound system was great. They did a brilliant job. And a lot of people think that cross of Jesus is somehow to do with, either we're not important, or we're really bad, or people are evil and sinful, or really somehow this is about how great God is. And the truth of the matter is that the focus of God in all of that is that he wants people's lives to flourish. That's not a secondary thing, that's a primary thing that he wants. And I've got a couple of Bible verses up here, and we can flick them on really quickly so you can see it. Beautifully done. Here's just a few. We're just going to look at them quick. I'm going to tell you a story, give you an analogy, and that's it this morning. The thief, this is Jesus speaking, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Amen. Some of you might have heard that before, but it's really important to know that the thief is not God. A lot of people think God is like the thief. He came to steal and kill and destroy. You know, I had a lot of fun before I was a Christian. I used to go out and party and get drunk, and now that I'm a Christian, I'm not allowed to do this, it's just a complete misrepresentation of the truth. Abundant life, a full life, a fantastic life is what Jesus came to give. And then there's this other verse that we can have a quick look at. Look at this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. You might have heard that before. It's a very famous verse. But sometimes we forget that the motive of God was that he loved you so much. Everyone say, he loves me.
He loves
me. You know, did you used to do that when you were young? You'd pick the petals off a flower. He loves me. Well, for a guy, it used to be, she may not be anymore. She loves me. She loves me not. Remember that? Well, with God, he loves you every time. So he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. God so loved that he gave. And this whole Easter celebration is him being given to us. Why would he do that? Because he loved you so much. And then there's one other verse I want you to see, and I love this verse. It's really teaching us how to pray. And listen, you just can't, I couldn't believe it was in the Bible when I first saw this. Because most people think, you know, praying is like, oh God, forgive me for this. And we have all these filters, very religious filters that we look at life through. But this is Paul teaching the church in Ephesus how to pray. He says, listen, I'm praying for you that you're rooted and established in love. Your whole life is built in love, not in guilt, not in failure, not in fear, not in inferiority, not in holiness. Now, holiness has its place, but that's another subject. But it's rooted and grounded in love. And that you might have power, everyone say power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. That tells us that it's a supernatural power that is required for you to catch how much God loves you. You can't do it without his supernatural power. There's a reason that I pray during the week, and I pray for you guys in our church, in our town, every day, and we pray before the service. And one of the most consistent things I pray is exactly this prayer. Because, you know, we can, you know, there's a new thing, or not new, you know, that cross equals love. You ever seen that? That's kind of popular kind of iconography thing right now, the cross equals love. And it's a great concept. But you can have that all over your car and all over your computer, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you know how loved you are. It actually takes power from God to reveal to you how loved you are. And Paul says this is the right kind of way to pray, that you can grasp just how long it is. Oh, it's longer than you think. How high is his love? How far does it? It's just higher than you think, and wide and deep. And then to know this love that passes knowledge. That's a great phrase for all you linguists. To know the love that passes knowledge. To know something that you can't know. That's what it's saying. Because the Greek word, the two Greek words for know there are different. To know something on the basis of it being revealed to you, even though your head can't figure it out. God wants to reveal to you how much he loves you. And that is one of the most important, foundational, and sadly, it's been a bit hidden. But I figure if we come out of the closet with the truth about how much God loves people, and people get switched on, they get that power, they grasp it, then you know what's going to happen? It's at the end. You're going to be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. God doesn't want a whole bunch of obedient robot servants. He wants people that are filled with his fullness. And I'm going to talk a little bit next week about the difference between being a servant and being a friend of God, and why being a friend of God is what it's really all about. That's part two of this. But there are three verses. That's what we want to talk about tonight. And I just want to take 5 or 10 minutes to talk to you about how your life runs and how it flows. Because, you know, if you think about cars, I was in somewhere with Caroline yesterday, and they had a display of those Tesla cars. You know them? And Joe, who's one of our boys, he's a physics major doing a master's in physics, and he just thinks they're brilliant because he loves Tesla because they're very smart. And Tesla is a car designed by a very bright American physicist, really. And they're redoing really what a car is like. It's got a whole new, all batteries in the floor. It's all electric. It's incredibly fast, and it's all those kinds of things. And whether that's your kind of car, whether that's the dream of your life, or whether you're a Ferrari person, or whether you're a beautiful S-Class Mercedes-Benz type person, the point is this, that when God made you, he made you and designed you better than any car that was ever made. But for the sake of the analogy, just see yourself for a moment like a wonderful car. Just exactly. And see, God knows that you have taste. Some people really like cabriolets, you know, the roof comes down. Other people really like four-wheel drives with a big muscular kind of tyres. Other people like those cute little, Kate's got one of those cute little tiny, you know, with white inside. Looks all like a designer Fiat type. Is it a Fiat? Very cute cars, you know. But here's the thing. God wants your life, planned your life to be like a beautiful car that runs beautifully. So the Ferrari, I had a picture of a friend of mine in Australia, and he posted something on Facebook, and his mate loves these Ferraris, and I don't know how many 100 miles an hour they go. I once had a car that had 300 brake horsepower. That was pretty good. That went pretty fast. But see, whatever your dream is, whatever your thing is, your life was designed by God to run like a beautiful car. And the problem with all of humanity, the common denominator of every human person is that what I want to call for today, the drive box. Whatever that central thing is in the middle of the car that makes the whole thing work, we've got a broken one of those. And you don't have to be that smart to figure that out. Sometime in this week, in the last week, I guarantee you, every person in this building, every person on the planet has thought about their life, has thought about why this doesn't work better, has thought about why they don't like this person. Some of them have wondered why on earth they even married this person. Some people have wondered why they had those children. Some people have been really annoyed at the neighbours. Some people don't like the boss. You only have to have a look at Brussels and over the last week and see what's going on all over the world. And now America, we have a big political kind of thing coming up for them. It's an enormous election this year for them. We're going to vote on the EU. And the truth is, you know, we've got ISIS videos that you can see, things you can't believe. You can't see them on. You couldn't get a movie with that sort of thing on it. And our world is broken. And it's people that run our world. That doesn't mean, now what people do is they sometimes think, oh, well, this whole thing's hopeless. The car's useless. No, you just, the drive box that drives a thing the way it's supposed to work is broken. That's all. And the great news about Easter is that God has created a new drive box for us. And when you put the drive box into the car runs beautifully. Now, a lot of people, Christians and non-Christians, don't even realize that the car is supposed to drive. Some people sit there in their Mercedes, which is their life, and it's really not going anywhere. And it still has some function. I mean, it's comfortable. And you can still impress your friends, you know, and you've got a roof over your head. But actually, cars were designed to take you on a journey, to go somewhere and to go somewhere in style. And if you're not careful, you can get around people that are so, they have had their car, because everyone's got their car, they've got their life. But they haven't driven, they haven't gone anywhere for so long that they think there's something wrong with people that do drive somewhere. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's really common. Some people don't realize the car was designed to drive. Some people dream that the car was supposed to drive. Your Ferrari's supposed to go 300 miles an hour. The police are supposed to not look as you kick onto the M25 and head south. But because your life doesn't work that way, and it's not going because the drive box is broken, some people get very critical of the car. This car's just a piece of junk, it just won't go. And that's what people do to themselves. They treat their own life like it's not valuable, like it's not beautiful, because it isn't driving the way it was supposed to drive. That's a very common religious response. Can you see what I'm saying? Then there are other people, like I said, and they haven't driven for so long that they've built a whole life around a car that doesn't drive. So everybody comes over to me, you know, we can sit here, we don't go anywhere. And then they hear a message like this, or people start to cotton on to, this is not revolutionary, maybe the way I'm saying it is a little bit different, but this is what Jesus came for in the first place. And if you've been sitting in your car for 10 or 15 or 20 years and never driven anywhere, and then someone comes along and says, you actually, there's a drive box that's supposed to go in here and you can actually go somewhere. If you're a little extra religious, you're going to start to think that that's a questionable doctrine right there. That's probably heresy. Cars that drive? No, that can't be right. And a lot of times we get people that make their doctrine out of their experience. Well, I've never driven anywhere, and I've never seen anybody else that drives. Well, that's because all the people you hang around with agree with you. I've never seen anybody. I doubt very much that really happens. What's wrong with my car anyway? I can just sit here. And we live at a way lower level than we ever needed to. But God designed the car of your life to drive beautifully, to make progress, to go somewhere, to go on an adventure, to go on a journey. And the thing that makes it work is the drive box that Jesus is. He is the bringer of the new drive box in the car of our lives. So how do you actually start driving somewhere? Well, it's very simple. All you've got to do is receive the drive box and put it in. And then you've got to act. Everyone say act. You've got to switch the key. And if you haven't done it for 20 years, it's a weird kind of feeling. And then you've got to put your foot down. But the first thing you've got to do is simply receive. See, now a lot of people think, well, Easter, you know, we've just got to be thankful to God. And it's good to be thankful to God. Absolutely. But a lot of people are living the life, their life, they treat their car like it isn't that important. They don't drive anywhere. And then they feel like, yes, but we must just give thanks to God for the little that we have. You know, it's a bit of an old banger. It doesn't go very well. We've never had it serviced. We've never really taken good care of it. And it's certainly never driven anywhere. But because we're Christians, we must be thankful to God for what we have. And there's a kind of an altruism in that that has some element of truth. But like somebody once said, half truth is more dangerous than a whole lie. That's only half true. See, what God really wanted to do was put this new drive box in and give you the drive of your life. That's way better than you could ever have imagined. That's exactly what Jesus was saying when he said, I came to give you abundant life. That's what it means. Over the top. Better than you expected. And what happens when you start to drive like that is that you're so exhilarated and you're so excited that you think, my God, how did this happen? And you realize actually the drive box was all a free gift. Now it cost God a lot. Cost God everything he had to provide for that drive box. But all you have to do is receive it. That's what Easter is about. That's one of the greatest secrets of the Christian life. It's about receiving a new drive box into the car of your life. So it drives so magnificently and so incredibly well. Some Christians, I know, they'll be thinking, yes, but well, what if somebody receives the drive box and they just drive their Ferrari and it's just so wonderful that they forget to thank God for it? Well, that happens. But God's the kind of God that's a risk he's prepared to take. And I'm going to talk a little bit about how that works next week when we talk about friendship with God. See, God is not a controller. God gave people a choice in the beginning. Even when you talk about those trees, you know, Adam and Eve and that whole story, and there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then there's the tree of life, and there was one that you had to choose, and the other one better not to choose. Remember that?
Yeah.
And a lot of Christians would just love us to cut one tree down completely and just not have it there because then we wouldn't make any mistakes because it wouldn't be a choice, it wouldn't be an option. But that's not the way God works. You're made better than that. You get to choose. You say, well, I could make the wrong decision. Well, yeah, you could. But the awesome thing is that God's going to love you even if you did make the wrong decision. And it's that love, even when you made the wrong decision, that encourages you to make the right decision. God's not like a schoolmaster. He's not like you naughty little boy, you did the wrong thing. He's like, let's not worry too much about that. That tree didn't work very well, did it? But it's okay, I've provided a better tree for you. I've provided a drive box for the drive of your life. That's what Christianity is. That's what Easter is all about. God wants your life to flourish. I'd love you to close your eyes. I'd love it if Sam had come just real quick and play something on the keyboard. And just as we close our service this morning, it's great to have you. It's great to be here. It's great to be here every week. I'll be back next week. But I want to encourage you, I do want to ask you actually just to close your eyes for a minute. And today I'm not going to ask anybody to kind of come out the front publicly like that. We do on occasion do that, but I do want to challenge you. I do want to ask you something while all your eyes are closed. If you just close your eyes and bow your heads and think about what I'm talking to you about. For some people here, I just know that they'll be saying, you know, that makes sense. That really makes sense. And maybe that makes more sense than anything you heard in church life for a long time. But the point is this. Until you actually put your hands on the new drive box and put it in and say, I'm going to live that life, then it'll just be another dream, just another drive box sitting on a shelf. And your life will keep going the way it has always gone. One of the secrets people don't realize is that for your life to drive well, the best thing you can do is be around a whole lot of other people that are driving. Because you just learn some stuff by doing it. But the beginning of it all is when people acknowledge, they say, you know, I need a new drive box in my life. I want my life, and it is your choice, I want my life to run incredibly well. That makes sense to me, that God would love me so much to give that to me. And right now, while all the eyes are closed, please, and every head bowed, if that's you and you're feeling like, yeah, he's talking to me, I want the new drive box in my life. I want to live that way. I'm making that choice. If that's you, while all these eyes are closed, can you just lift your hand for me high enough that I can see it? Just kind of wave it at me. And then I'll ask you to put it down again. God bless you. That's awesome. You can put your hand down again. And there's a couple of other people here too, I know, that I just know your heart is racing. God is speaking to you. And I want to encourage you. Be bold and don't live a second-rate life. Be the best that God's called you to be. He loves you so much. Don't leave the drive box sitting on the shelf. If that's you, real quick, just raise your hand and say, that is me. I want to receive that. God bless you. That's awesome. You can put your hand down. God bless you too, man. That's awesome. You can put your hand down. Anyone else, if I missed you, just wave at me real quick. Fantastic. Awesome. Praise God. That's so great. Let's stand together, church.